You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio, and joining me right now is Adam Smith, who is with the Commemorative Air Force. He's the Executive Vice President of Strategic Development, but today we're going to call him the man who knows all about That's All Brother. If you've been at Oshkosh the last couple of years, you've probably heard about That's All Brother. The Commemorative Air Force discovered the airplane right across the field at Basler's, and it is historically important. Adam, why is this airplane so important?
Morning, Steve. Morning, everyone. This airplane is the airplane that led the D-Day invasion, June 6, 1944. That night, before the boats hit the beaches on the morning of D-Day, the U.S. forces dropped 13,000 paratroopers behind enemy lines to secure the exits from the beaches and some key strategic points. And it took 801 airplanes to drop those 13,000 paratroopers. So there was essentially, from about 10 o'clock in the evening, the night before D-Day, there was this huge formation was gathering up over England. It was, for those of you that fly airplanes and are familiar with those big warbird formations that were flying over yesterday and will be in the air show every day this week, you can sort of understand what a big aircraft formation looks like. Imagine one that's literally 200 miles long. That's how long the D-Day formation was. Well, at the head of those 801 airplanes, leading that entire 200-mile long formation was the airplane That's All Brother. It had a special radar fitted to help the crew navigate and accurately drop the troops in the right spot over Normandy. And as you said, history had lost this airplane. No one knew where it was. I think people just thought, okay, we can see the films, we can see the photographs from D-Day, but the airplane's probably been scrapped or lost in a jungle in South America or something.
Right.
And about 3 years ago, we read a blog posting where a historian had been doing some research of serial numbers of airplanes and had been looking at the 15 or so airplanes that are in the boneyard about a mile away from us on the other side of the runway here at Basler. And he figured out that one of these airplanes was That's All Brother, the airplane that led the D-Day invasion. So that led us to this whole project where we acquired the plane. Been spending a lot of time and money restoring it and getting ready to take it back for the 75th anniversary of D-Day in 2019.
The airplane itself not only remarkably survived, but also survived a number of owners who all had different ideas of maintenance and upkeep of the airplane.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons the airplane's history got lost is that it went through 16 different owners after the U.S. government sold it at the end of World War II, and it was used as a cargo hauler and for aerial photography and things like that. And when we stripped all the layers of paint off, I think there were probably 16 layers of paint on the airplane. And but what we're doing is we want to take it back to ultra authentic D-Day configuration. So we've worked really hard on not just the structural elements of a restoration, but really finding all of those historical details and all the parts and pieces that will make this indistinguishable from the airplane that flew in 1944.
Now, I understand when you're talking about research and the depth of research you're doing, even as far as the kind of primer that was put on the inside of the airplane and how that was somewhat different from what was normally anticipated for a C-47.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those projects where we're having to rediscover history, do that sort of archaeology of the archives to find out things that no one's really thought about. And you just pulled out a good example there. What color was the inside of a C-47 during World War II? Well, that is many hours of research just to try and figure that out. And it leads you to understand even how the aircraft were constructed. This airplane was built in Tulsa, Oklahoma by Douglas Aircraft. But one of the things we learned in trying to figure out what color the inside was, we realized that parts for the aircraft were made at different aircraft factories and the primer was sprayed on them and they were brought in by railroad and the actual aircraft were assembled at Douglas. And it's really fascinating just to understand if there's one thing I've learned, the scale of effort that went into World War II in this country was, it's incomprehensible almost. A lot of attention often focuses on the combat side of the war, but the way that this country geared up industrially and socially, and everybody's effort got focused on winning that war, really was quite remarkable. And I think the aviation side of the war represented that perhaps more than anything.
So along with the researching the paint and all the original equipment, a lot of that research is ongoing, but as with any restoration project, as you started to peel back the layers of the airplane, more and more of little gremlins started cropping up.
Yeah. Before we acquired the airplane, we did a relatively thorough pre-purchase inspection and tried to find as much as we could about the condition of the aircraft, and and we knew there were some issues that we'd have to deal with, but anyone that's ever restored an airplane or a car or whatever, you're probably familiar with the story I'm about to explain, which is that, you know, the more we got into it, the more of those hidden areas that were uncovered, the more problems and issues that we find. So it's turned into a certainly more expensive restoration than we originally anticipated. However, the support that's come for this project has been absolutely incredible, and we really appreciate everyone that's contributed to help us financially with That's All Brother. But when we get a donation to the project, it's not just a financial boost, it's a moral boost as well. From, you know, it encourages us to keep going and keep the standard high. So I guess we could have maybe patched this airplane up and, you know, kind of done a half restoration with it. But because of the historical significance of it, we decided to push for a really top-quality restoration. So that's cost more money, but we are actually on track. In fact, I would say the project is going swimmingly well right now. We are on track to fly the airplane in the fall of this year, you know, maybe September, October, if we can stay on track. For those of you that can see it out on the line right now, it doesn't look like it's going to fly anytime soon.
It really
looks kind of ratty. But a lot of the complex work is done now. The restoration, the corrosion's been taken care of. The engines have been overhauled. So we're in that phase of bringing it back together. The control surfaces are missing right now, but they'll come back on soon. And the airplane is actually not far away from flying.
Yes.
Our hope is that we can be here at Oshkosh next year with a fully finished airplane. We've set ourselves the goal of getting everything finished for an unveiling, a rollout on June 6th of next year. So that will be the 74th anniversary of D-Day. And that will give us 1 year to go to where we really want to be in 2019, which is back there in Europe, reenacting the flight from 1944.
We're talking with Adam Smith from the Commemorative Air Force about That's All Brother. And Adam, normally when you come to an event like Oshkosh, you fly either your own airplane or you go commercially, or you drive in a car or a camper or an RV. You had a different experience getting here from Dallas this week, didn't you?
Yeah. I really wanted to fly into Oshkosh this year. It's been maybe 3 or 4 years since I flew the Fisk Arrival, and I love doing that, and it's very exciting. But didn't have an airplane this year. But what I did have was the nose section of a C-47 that one of our supporters, two of our supporters, Butch and Diane Stevens, very kindly donated to us a C-47 cockpit section. So you can see it out there on Boeing Plaza. It's mounted on a little trailer, and you can get up inside and see what and feel and sit in the pilot and the co-pilot seat and understand what the cockpit of a World War II C-47 is like. But I really wanted to get it here, and it was one of those things. The only way to get it here was to drive it myself. So it was 1,100 miles towing a C-47 cockpit across America. And every time I stopped at a gas station, I had this crowd of people sort of jumped out of the woodwork, wanted to know all about it. But it's fun. You know, I got some interesting looks on the highway.
I can only imagine.
Later this week, I want to take it to the drive-in restaurant. There's Ardianeds over there, yeah. Is where the girls are on roller skates. You know.
Actually, we've got a picture of it up on the.
Oh
the
yeah,
big
you
screens.
Do.
Oh,
it's
yes.
On the big screen. Wow. I want to sit in the cockpit and have a burger and fries.
I think that would be awesome.
That's my payoff for an 1,100-mile drive.
I hate to break this to you, but you have 1,100 miles going back home, too.
I do. In fact, if anyone wants to help, if anyone's looking for a ride to Dallas on Sunday or Monday, I would be delighted to have a co-pilot.
Somebody to share the fun on the way back home. Adam, just a minute before we close up, but Nick Coleman, and you may recognize that from his program Airplane Restoration. I understand he is chronicling the restoration and resurrection of That's All Brother.
Yeah, I'm actually camping with Nick Coleman this week out in Camp Shola. So we call it Camp Blighty. It's all the British people are there together. Nick has, over the last few years, developed a very interesting television company and has done this series, Plane Resurrection, which you can see on Netflix. And Nick's a real early adopter of internet-delivered television and that whole model. And for the last 9 months, he's been documenting the restoration of That's All Brother, and he's going to follow the project all the way from now until Normandy 2019. So... if you go online onto our Facebook page, you can see some trailers and teasers of the work that's been done. And we really appreciate Nick. He's a really great guy. He brings a lot of passion and enthusiasm to this project. And I think we'll actually have a really amazing film come the end of it.
Good. We'll look for those trailers on the Facebook page. Commemorative Air Force, just look that up on Facebook. Or it's on the web at commemorativeairforce.org. And we'll look for you there, and we'll look for That's All Brother and That's All Brother Jr. Look for that out there on Boeing Plaza. This is From the Stand, and you're listening to EIA Radio.